You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach, talking Philadelphia Phillies with MLB.com's Phillies beat reporter, Todd Zielecki. Todd, we've talked a lot about 2015 already this year with these Phillies, which is weird because they've played pretty decent ball for the last 3 or 4 months. But to boil it down overall, one last look at the 2014 season, what happened that this team was not as good as the front office thought it was going to be?
I think it comes down to the fact that they believed, for one reason or another, I think one, because of the money they invested, and two, just because of their past performance, they believed that if everybody was healthy and stayed on the field, that these guys would produce like they had in the past, and they would put up some wins. And quite frankly, it's just not there anymore. You know, Chase Elley, you know, he was a perennial MVP candidate from like 2006 through 2010. Ryan Howard was a former MVP. Jimmy Rollins was a former MVP. And Carlos Ruiz was a couple years ago was a very productive offensive catcher. And I think they thought if all those guys were healthy and Marlon Byrd came in and did what he did last year and Cody Ashe developed and Dominic Brown continued to do what he did last year, that they would be a productive offensive team. But obviously the numbers weren't there. And I think also the starting pitching did not perform up to expectations. Cole Hamels pitched great, but A.J. Burnett put up bad numbers. Kyle Kendrick put up bad numbers. Cliff Lee was hurt. And so really the only bright spot, the only thing that really kind of worked out for them was the bullpen. And so they have a lot of things that they need to work on in the offseason with, I think, finding a big bat, number one on the list, and then kind of rounding out that rotation, number two on the list.
And that does lead right in. How can this team get better? And there are some things that have to happen in the long run as far as development and as far as turning over the roster. But as far as 2015, how can this team get better in the next 6 months?
I think one thing that they are going to do is they are going to pursue Yosmani Tomas, the Cuban outfielder. They had a massive workout on Sunday, and the Phillies held a private workout with him the next day. I believe that they do like him. They liked him. When Rusty Castillo, before he signed with the Red Sox, the Phillies worked him out privately, and sources had told me that they liked him, but they liked, quote, another guy more. And I think that was Tomas, or I know that was Tomas. And so I think they're going to take a run at him. And it's going to be expensive, but the Phillies do have money to go after a guy like that, and I think they have incentive to go after a guy like that because, like we just mentioned, they don't have any outfield prospects coming up through the system knocking on the door. And the outfield free agent crop entering the offseason is relatively weak. So I think the Phillies are going to try to get him. Whether or not they get him remains to be seen, obviously. But I think if they can get that guy, you know, they have a projected middle of the order bat for the next several seasons, and I think they're hoping that that works out. And failing that, there's absolutely no quick fix. You know, you look at the free agent outfielders, there's Melky Cabrera, there's Nelson Cruz, whom I don't think they'll pursue, there's Colby Rasmus, Josh Willingham, Michael Kadir, those types of guys. So there's no immediate guy you look at and go, okay, if the Phillies can get this guy and they can get that guy, they're going to be right back in it. I think they're going to try for Tomas, and failing that, it's going to be more of a longer look at things to get this team better.
And Colby Rasmus is one of my favorite guys, but the idea of Colby Rasmus dealing with you and your colleagues on a daily basis, I think I got to think that one doesn't end well. The flip side of that is as you kind of touched on, there are some questions in the rotation as well. Hamels is as good as anybody, but I think it's fair to wonder what Lee is right now, and it's fair to wonder what's beyond that. What does the rotation look like next year?
Yeah, that is really tricky now. Talking to Ruben Amaro Jr., first of all, Hamels is the ace, unless they trade him in the offseason. I think they will listen for offers for Cole Hamels because I think with Pat Gillick now interim president, he has loyalty, but I think he also understands that you have to take risks to improve a ball club. And I think if the right deal comes along, I don't think Pat and Ruben will blink at trading Cole Hamels. But it's going to have to be a massive package. And they got some nibbles, you know, before the trade deadline. They got some nibbles from the Cubs who claimed him on waivers in August. But I think they're going to open it up in the offseason and at least listen. Now, if Cole is back, you have your ace. They think that Cliff Lee will be ready to go by spring training. He had an elbow injury. I think he probably rushed back from the elbow injury. But they do believe that he'll be ready to go. He's going to begin his throwing program in November. So if Cliff Lee's healthy, all right, there's your second guy. David Buchanan, rookie, he's pitched actually pretty well overall. I think, you know, the next step for him is to pitch a little bit deeper in games, but he's kept pretty much every game competitive so far. I think he's your third guy. Now, AJ Burnett is a big question mark. Now, the guy's made over, I think, I looked this up the other day, he's made over like $150 million in his career. He's 37. He's talked about retirement last year. He hinted at retirement this year. But he's got a $12.75 million player option. And if, I don't know too many people that would turn down a $12.75 million payday for one more year of work. AJ Burnett might be one of those guys concerning how much money he's made in his career. But even guys that have made $150 million, I think, are going, wow, can I really turn down another $12.75 million? So that's going to be interesting. He has a few days after the last game of the World Series to make that decision. If he's back, there's your fourth guy. Now the fifth guy remains to be seen. Kyle Kendrick made his last start for the Phillies in Miami. I tend to think that he will not be back. Jerome Williams is making his last start for the Phillies in Miami. Against the Braves, the final weekend of the series of the season. I think that he could be back because other than that, they don't have anybody in the system really knocking down the door. And, you know, they could also, you know, look outside, obviously, and I think they might have to look outside, especially if Burnett leaves. But Burnett's a big, big question mark right now because, you know, if he comes back, you got him in there, and if not, now you have a couple more holes to fill.
Do you think it's reasonable to figure that a healthy Burnett is a better pitcher than he was this year if he gets his health issues sorted out, that if he is back, he's probably better than he was this year?
You know, and that's interesting, too, because he has alluded to the fact that he's felt miserable all season long. And but then you talk to Ryan Sandberg and you say, you know, has he had other health issues? You know, what exactly is going on there? And he says, I mean, it's, according to Ryan Sandberg, he's like, well, you know, he's given us length in games. His velocity is there. His stuff seems to be there. You know, he's probably going to get the surgery done on the hernia, inguinal hernia. So maybe that was a bigger issue than everybody has let on. But Burnett was kind of cagey about it as he's talked about his health. So we don't know if there's anything more going on there in San Diego. Recently, we asked him if he might come back next year. And he said, if I can lift my arm above my head, I might. So, but then we ask and say, is there an arm injury with this guy? And people say, as far as we know, there's no arm injury. So we're not really sure what he's talking about there. But a healthier A.J. Burnett, you would have to think, would be more effective than he was this year. But the mystery is, how much was he bothered by the hernia and how much was he bothered by something else? Like I said, he's hinted at it, but he says he doesn't want to discuss it until his final start of the season, which is Saturday against the Braves.
So let's say, for the sake of argument, they don't get Tomas. And presumably, if they're willing to spend big on him, there is money to spend. And let's take a look at the rest of the market and acknowledge that there really is not much there. There's decent talent at third base, but that's one area where the Phillies presumably won't be spending. Is there any reason to think that if they don't spend on Tomas, they maybe go into that deeper end of the starting pitching market and look at Shields, Scherzer, one of those kind of guys? Or is that, have they been burned enough by some scary pitching contracts that they might not do that?
Yeah, I tend to think that they would not go after the early 30-year-old pitcher, you know, and sign him to a 7-year type of deal. You know, I think the reason why they are interested in a guy like Tomas is because he's 24 years old. So if they would sign him to a 7-year deal, they would pretty much have him through his prime years, even with a few more prime years once he hits free agency at that point. And I think, you know, Pat Gillick has acknowledged that the Phillies, it's going to take a while to get this team back on track. So I'm not sure if they would go after one of those guys. Now, you talk to Ruben Amaro and you talk to Ryan Sandberg, and they're two guys that flat out say, I believe that you have to have great starting pitching to win. But if you don't have the offense there and there's no quick fix on offense, does it make sense to commit so much more money to another massive long-term contract when, you know, those first 2-3 years of that deal, presumably the best years of that contract for that pitcher might be wasted on a losing team. So I Gillick has alluded to getting creative. I think, you know, what they might do is try to trade some guys, which could figure into the Cole Hamels thing, Marlon Byrd. I think they'll try to trade Jonathan Papelbon, but he keeps putting his foot in his mouth, and I think it might scare away some teams. I mean, when I look at this offseason, I really think it's going to be one of the more fascinating off seasons in recent memory, because the team is now coming off 2 consecutive losing seasons, 3 consecutive seasons without a postseason berth, and with so many holes to fill and not a lot of easy ways to do it. And so I'm really going to be interested to see how they go about it and kind of who stays, who goes. I think, and I really do think that everything and anything is on the table.
All right. Well, Todd Zielecki, thanks for taking the time to chat here on MLB.com Extras, and thanks everybody for listening.
Catch all of the second half action on MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service. Watch every out-of-market game stream live online or on the go in true HD. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 14 subscription, allowing you to watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.